might open your Bible tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. For the last few Sunday nights, I've been bringing a series of sermons on the Christian home, the family. I think I brought four sermons in this series. The first one was the divine concept of marriage. And the second sermon was, Master, I brought my son to thee, the words of a father in the Bible. The third one was rules that regulate a happy marriage. And then last Sunday evening, I spoke on the father's place in the Christian home. I do not think this series would be complete if I did not speak on the fifth commandment, which is the first commandment with promise. Found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's also found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and following, and I want to read it and talk about it tonight. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And now let us bow our heads for prayer. And our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing tonight. This will be more of a Bible lesson than a sermon. But I pray tonight that our folk will listen very carefully to the Word of God. And even we who are already married and have our own children should listen very carefully to this commandment, because it still applies as long as we have a father and mother. And we ought to remember that. We're to honor our father and mother. Now help me to do right and preach good tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother. That is the fifth commandment out of the ten commandments listed in Exodus chapter 20. Now tonight I want to develop three things concerning this commandment. First, I want to talk about the importance of it. Secondly, I want to share with you what it means to honor father and mother. And thirdly, I want to share with you some of the results of honoring your father and mother. And may I get right into the message by talking first about the importance of this commandment. And I want to give you four reasons why this commandment is important. In the first place, it is important because of the position that it occupies among the Ten Commandments. You've heard me say before, but I say it again, that the first four commandments out of the Ten Commandments sum up man's duty toward God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not bow down to graven images, and so forth. The last six commandments sum up man's duty toward man. And the first of the last six commandments is, honor thy father and thy mother. That commandment comes before thou shalt not steal. That commandment comes before thou shalt not kill. That commandment comes before thou shalt not bear false witness. That commandment comes before thou shalt not covet. It is the first of the last six commandments. And because of its position, I say it's important. As soon as a man's relationship is right with God, and as soon as a man's duty is discharged toward God, the very next thing is that man be right with his father and mother, and stay right with his father and mother. I think one of the most beautiful and blessed relationships is the relationship of a parent and his children or her children. And it's very sad in our generation that there has been such what has been called a generation gap, so that our children do not understand us and we do not understand our children. And so many families have allowed their children to slip through their fingers and have lost them. And I do not think you have to lose your children. I think you can salvage your children. I think you can raise obedient children if they are taught properly and given the right example by you in the home as a Christian father or mother. So you see, this commandment comes before, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. So because of the position that it occupies among the ten, I say that it's the greatest commandment as far as the commandments that sum up our duty toward man. We're to be right with our father and our mother. Secondly, this commandment is important because it's the first commandment with promise. As a matter of fact, it's the only commandment with promise. And I'd want to honor my father and mother if for no other reason that I may be able to claim the Bible promise that goes with it. Look in Ephesians 6, if you will, please, verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Two things are promised to the man or the boy or girl who honors father and mother. Number one, it may be well with thee. I think adults could have avoided a lot of trouble had they been good children. There is the law of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if a child sows wild oats, he's going to reap wild oats. If he sows to the flesh, he's going to reap to the flesh. And you cannot be a rebellious, stubborn, hard-headed child and expect to have nice, obedient, submissive children when you grow up, because you're going to reap what you sow. You honor father and mother, here's the promise, it'll be well with thee. I don't know what all that means, but I like the sound of it. Just to be well with thee, well with thee. I like the sound of that. I know what this means. And that the days which the Lord thy God giveth thee may be long upon the earth. That, I'll tell you one way to live a long time. Just honor your father and your mother. Find out what that word honor means and do it. And you'll live to be an old person unless you die accidentally, walk out in front of a car or something. But the Bible promises long days to the boy or girl who honors his father and mother. Secondly. Now, thirdly, I think this commandment is important because it's repeated in the New Testament. It is one of the few that is repeated in the New Testament. This one is, and I read it to you from Ephesians chapter 6. It not only is repeated, but there's some amplification here. And then, number four, this commandment is important because the death penalty is commanded for disobedience to this commandment. Now, wait a minute. I don't want you to get edgy with me. I don't want you to jump up and say, wait a minute, here's a guy preaching capital punishment. He's for killing all the children that does not honor father and mother. No, I'm not for that, though sometimes I felt like that. I'm not for that. But I am saying in the Old Testament, the death penalty was commanded for deliberate and continual disobedience to this commandment to honor your father and your mother. For instance, in Exodus 21, verse 15, the Bible said, if a child strikes his parents, he's to be put to death for that. And may I say to you parents here tonight, if you want to raise the right kind of children, you should not allow your children to strike you even in jest, even in play. Now, father may get out and box with his son. That may be a different thing. But I mean, the kid get angry and slap you and then say, well, I didn't really mean it. Or slap at you. You should demand the proper respect from your children. Say, now, wait a minute, son, we don't play that way. We don't do that. That's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. You're to have respect for your parents. Not only that, but in the Old Testament, in Exodus 21, verse 17, the Bible said, whosoever curseth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Nowadays, we're not careful how we talk to our parents, and sometimes parents don't really care how their children talk to them. But we ought to be very careful about that. You know, I had just soon cursed God as cursed my father. I was afraid to do that. I heard children curse their parents as if they were some kind of a bum. And I thought, how in the world does a child do that? I had a fear that maybe God may strike me dead if I were to talk that disrespectful to my father or my mother. I never did. I never called my daddy old man. I call my mother Mama. That's the way we call them down here in the South. And Mama, I never called her mother. It's Mama and Daddy. No, never Mother and Father. But that was respect to me. I didn't mean any disrespect by it. I never called my daddy Archie. I never have. Just then, that scared me just then. And I never called my mother Marie. And I don't think any parent should allow his children to call him by his first name. It should either be Father or Dad, mom, or mother, or mama, or daddy. Now, I don't really like any terms other than that. If you want to use anything else, all right. But I don't mind calling me by Curtis. Man, if they want to get in bad trouble, they tried one time to be bad, bad, bad. They never have. But I never did call my dad by his first name. I call him father or dad or daddy. And the Bible demands a death penalty for the child who strikes his mother or father. And it demands a death penalty for the child who curses his father or mother. You know, as Christian parents, we ought to see to it that our children respect us and reverence us. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." So I'll give you four reasons why this commandment is so important. And secondly, let me develop this thought a few minutes. What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? I want to make several suggestions. Number one, to honor father and mother involves respect for their persons. I mentioned earlier, he that smiteth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Or he that curses father or mother shall surely be put to death. And parents should keep themselves so that their children do respect them. And honor father and mother means to have proper respect for your father and your mother. Let me talk to you children here tonight. You all are somebody's children, by the way. So let me talk to all of you tonight and tell you that you should have respect for your mother. You should have respect for your father. That's what the word honor means. There should never be any of this business of, "My old man don't let me have a car on Saturday night." There should be never this business where, "My old lady won't do so-and-so." Or, "Dad this," or "My dad that." Anything that's disrespectful should not be tolerated on the part of the parent. The parent should stand up and have something in the house that he can make his child respect him with. Now, I'm pretty hard-headed and stubborn, I suppose. But I will not have a child that I can't get the respect from. If I can't whip him, I'll call the law and have them lock him up. Until at least he's beyond my reach. When he gets a certain age, I have no legal jurisdiction over him. I don't like the idea of the law, what the law has done. But when he gets to a certain age, all right, I want to know I've done my best. I don't care. My boy is taller than I am now. And it looks like he's going to be 8'10" before he gets through growing. He already wears my shoes, but he ain't big enough to disrespect his dad. And he won't ever get that big. If he looks like he walks, takes two doors to get through, and I say, "Sit down," he's going to sit down. Oh, there's going to be a war declared, and somebody's going to win. I got an idea who it's going to be. And I don't think he ever would. I'm embarrassing him, I'm sure. I don't think he ever would do that, but I would see that my kids obeyed me from the time they're born till the time they get up and get out on their own, and even then there should be no disrespect. My father's much smaller than I am, and if I went to North Carolina tonight to visit my dad, and my dad said, "Curtis, run the store and get a loaf of bread," I'd say, "Yes, sir, what kind?" And he said, "Curtis, what about go getting us a hamburger?" I'd say, "Yes, sir, Wendy's or McDonald's or Burger King, which one?" And I wouldn't think anything about it. I just still feel like I'm his boy when I'm around him. I don't think the fact that he lives 500 miles away and only see him once a year or once every 2 years changes that. I still have a great respect for my father. And I want to die with that kind of respect for my father. Because he's my father and I'm his child. And the commandment is, honor your father and mother. And I do have an honor and respect for my dad. My dad was a very strict disciplinarian. I've said my dad believes in the stars and stripes. He put on the stripes and I saw the stars. We were not without discipline enforcers in my day. My dad was a barber, and he had a big old razor strap, and he had several extra ones. He didn't strap razors with him, he strapped boys with him. Before he was bald-headed, he had a hairbrush. He knew what to do with that. He had all kind of discipline enforcers around the house. I told you about him whipping me with a fly swatter. I can't get it off my mind, the reason I keep mentioning it. It made an everlasting impression on me. I hope they don't have fly swatters in heaven. Had a wire handle in it. If it had been the day, somebody would have called him and had him locked up for child abuse. He didn't abuse me. He made me behave myself. And I had great respect for him. It involves respect for the parents. And might I ought to say this to you parents tonight. I think a parent ought to dress properly around his children so that the child does have proper respect for his parents. After a while, the child has no respect for you. Dress him properly at home, and the child soon loses respect for his dad, and he soon loses respect for his mom, and you ought to be properly clothed around your children at home. I just throw that in. When Noah got drunk and was naked before his sons, and his sons came in and looked upon Noah's nakedness, God put a curse upon one of Noah's sons for looking on Noah's nakedness because he had no respect for his father's person. Now, wait a minute. God didn't put a curse on Noah for getting drunk, but God did put a curse on Noah's son for having no respect for his father. Even though his father was in a drunken stupor and naked, the curse came on the son for disrespect for the father. Now, I'm not condoning drunkenness, but I'm saying there was no curse put on Noah for his drunkenness nor for his nakedness, but the curse was put upon the son for looking on the nakedness. There ought to be a proper respect, and parents should be respected because of their position. He may not always be right, but he's always daddy. She may not always be right, but she's always mama. And you don't change that position of authority. God put your parents over you, and you must always respect your parents. And that's what it means to honor your father and mother. May I quickly say that to honor father and mother means strict obedience to father and mother. And here in Ephesians 6, the Bible ties this command to obey your father and mother along with the commandment of honor father and mother. Verse 1, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. It is right for children to obey parents. If daddy says go get the paper, he goes and gets the paper. If daddy says cut the grass, they cut the grass. If mama says wash the dishes, you wash the dishes. You must learn to obey your father and your mother. And I think parents ought to see to it that children obey them. Because you teach them disobedience and disrespect for authority when you don't make them obey you. And you're training criminals and rebels and revolutionaries. Unless you demand obedience at home, then when they get outside the home, they'll think they can break every law in the book and get by with it. And you taught them to do that at home. You ought to make them obey. I hear some young person saying, but suppose I know more than my mother or daddy. Well, I doubt that. But let's suppose you do know more than your mother or daddy. That still doesn't give you any excuse to disobey your parents. When the policeman stops me and gives me a ticket, I may know more than he does. I may have more education than he's got. But that doesn't give me a right to tap the ticket. He's still the policeman. And I don't care if you go to college, you get 15 degrees, and your mom and dad are country people who never got through the fourth grade. I don't care how smart you get in college. It doesn't give you a right to disobey your parents. They're still your parents. And you're to obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Not only does honoring father and mother involve respect for their person, and not only does it involve obedience to them, and parents ought to see that their children obey them, but let me just insert something here. I get a little aggravated with parents who provoke their children to anger and discourage them according to Colossians chapter 3. And here, when it tells the children to obey their parents and honor their father and mother, the very next verse says, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And a parent should not provoke the child to wrath by constantly screaming at him and yelling at him. I wouldn't yell at a dog the way I hear some parents yell at their children. You can make a child obey without yelling at him. Well, you say, you yell at us all the time. Well, I don't know. I get excited. I yell at you because I can't whip you. But if I could whip you, I wouldn't yell at you. I'd just whip you and make you tired. But I've heard parents say, and little old kid, boy, gets out of the cradle. He's got a nervous, he has a nervous breakdown. He's afraid to touch anything. He's just like this. Yeah. That does not train a child. That upsets a child. One guy was 17 years old before he discovered his name wasn't Don't. He thought his name was Don't. He said, it's Don't this and Don't that and Don't that and Don't. He said, I thought I was Don't till I was 17 years old. And one mother sent her daughter upstairs and said, go see what your brother's doing and tell him to stop. She never bothered to find out what he's doing, just tell him to stop. It's got to be wrong. I think that's wrong. You ought to find out what he's doing first. Don't scold him what he may do in the future. Scold him what he's done. Don't yell at her for what you think she may do day after tomorrow. Wait till she does it. She may not do it. And you may have yelled too soon. And when you threaten, always follow through. If you tell a child you're going to spank him, spank him. If you tell a girl you're going to spank her, spank her. If you say you do that, you're going to get so-and-so. Make sure they get what you said. If you don't, they'll learn after a while you don't mean what you said, and they'll get worse and worse and worse and worse. I don't think it's wise to scream at the children. I think it's wise to bring them up in the nurture, discipline, and admonition of the Lord. That's wrong. Don't do that. That's the reason it's wrong. And here's what will happen if you do it again. That kind of thing's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean. Don't provoke them to anger. May I say, not only honor father and mother means respect for the person and means strict obedience to father and mother, but may I say that in the third place, honor father and mother involves financial support and provision for them. I won't ask you to turn to it for the sake of time, but in 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning with verse 3, the Bible talks about providing for your own household. And it goes on in that passage to say, if a woman is a widow, indeed the church is to look after her. But if a woman is a widow and she has no children, her nephews and nieces are to look after her well-being and care for her financially. That means that nephews are to look after their aunts if the aunt did not have any children. And it goes on that same passage to say, and he that provideth not for his own household has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, wait a minute. I don't want you to misunderstand me. Many times, father and mother does not need financial support. And in most cases that I know about, father and mother have helped the children. And the cases that I know about nowadays, society is just so that in old age we seem to have more than we did when we were younger. Children are grown. We don't have to spend as much. We're making more money because we have a higher position with the company. And we have more than we can spend. When our children first marry, they're struggling. And parents usually help the children. I'm not against that. But I am saying this, that the responsibility of the parents belongs to the children and not to the state. I know we have welfare nowadays and Social Security and everything else, but I'm not too sure we ought to have it. Didn't get amens on that? Because if the churches had taught what they ought to have been teaching, the children would look after their parents, and God provided for a parent that could not have children and said the nieces and nephews were to look after them. And I'm just saying this. If a father is old and unable to work, it's the children's responsibility to see that the father is taken care of until he dies. If the mother is old and unable to work, it's the children's responsibility to look after her until she dies. And you're not to get around this duty by saying, but I'm giving my money to a worthy cause. That's the wrong thing. This money is dedicated to the Lord, and I can't use it for that. No, you're to look after your parents. And I'm going to shock you. You're not to take the tithe and look after them with it. Got quiet in here then. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Your parents are your responsibility, like your gas bill and light bill and water bill and groceries and everything else. They are your responsibility until they die. I'm going to just tell you something. You won't have to have to whip me again long as I live. What do you mean? I said, I don't mean what you think. What I mean is I won't ever do anything else wrong. I was almost like my first cousin was. He got locked up so much. police got him so much that one time he said, if they ever lock me up again, it'll be for singing too loud in church. Of course, he didn't mean it. He never sung too loud in church. But I said, you won't ever have to whip me again. He said, you mean that? I said, I mean it, Daddy. Never again. That's it. He said, if you mean it, then I'm through. He broke the hickory. He said, I hope you mean that, son. I don't like to whip you. I love you. I go see my daddy now. If I stay as long as 24 hours, he'll mention it before I leave. He said, you meant that, didn't you, boy? Yes, sir, I meant that. He said, I never whipped you after that time, did I? I said, no, you never did. He said, well, Curtis, and he cries. He said, I didn't have to. You didn't do anything to deserve it. Well, I know I did do something to deserve it, but he never knew about it. And if anybody had told on me, I'd have killed him. But I tried as a fourth grade. I think I've told all my kids that story. I don't like to whip mine. I wish they'd say to me, you know, you don't have to whip me again as long as you live. But I'm never going to do anything to deserve it with me. From here on in, I'm going to obey you and respect you like I ought to all the way. You must earn their respect by your example, and you must demand it. If they don't respect them, call their attention to it. And may I close my sermon by saying, as far as I'm concerned, the best way any child could honor his father and mother would be to turn to the God of father and mother and trust Christ as Savior. I think the greatest honor that children can bring to Christian parents is that they accept the parent's Savior, read the parent's Bible, and live for the parent's God, and follow the parent's rules, try to be Christian. That's the greatest honor that I know that a child could bring to his father and mother. Was it President McKinley who got a call one day that his mother was dying, and if he ever wished to see her again, he must hurry? And they fired up the old engine on the train. The presidential car was hooked to it. And he wired ahead, and on the telegram he said, tell mother I'll be there. And got on the train, headed out, and he got there before his mother died and kissed her goodbye. And a great songwriter in later years, recalling the words of the president to his mother, tell mother I'll be there, wrote that great old song, tell mother I'll be there, in answer to a prayer. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. And it's sung on Mother's Day across our United States of America. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise.